Welcome to the Watson Weekly here. It's the weekend edition with Rick and Jess.
Hi, Rick. I am so sorry. I'm running a little bit behind. I just had to go to Starbucks for my daily pick-me-up, and I am clearly not drinking enough coffee.
And we're clearly not getting out of our groundhog shadow, so that's why maybe you need extra coffee.
It is.
To combat the cold.
I'm over it. I'm tired of being cold. I need sunshine. I'm vitamin D deficient. It's just not a good look.
Well, maybe today's show will pick you up.
Okay.
The stories we have on today's show are, first up, Pinterest announces layoffs ahead of AI investment. Second, Starbucks unveils a reimagined loyalty program. Third, Shopify issues a partner update. Sounds ominous. And finally, Whatnot's live selling report shows us the state of live selling in North America. And as a reminder, we are on YouTube, so please like and subscribe our channel so you're notified when new episodes are uploaded. And in case you didn't know, we also have a newsletter. You can check out watsonweekly.com. Go there, hit that subscribe button. There's no like button on a website. Just subscribe.
No, but you can like the newsletter and you can forward it around to all of your friends and family and make them smarter.
On our first story up, why don't you tell us what we have?
Yes, Rick, I'm going to break down this first story, which is Pinterest did announce layoffs amid this AI investment. Yes, the AI boogeyman is back. In full Whoa. Effect. He's a really tough cookie.
Yeah.
So after these massive surge of lockdown activity that they experienced during COVID, growth really stalled, like a lot of companies, in 21 and 22. And then at the same time, you have TikTok coming onto the scene, Instagram Reels coming back with full force to compete against TikTok, and Pinterest just gets left behind again. And I think you've kind of called this out before too, like Pinterest has been a bit vulnerable, right, from an advertising perspective.
Yeah, Pinterest signed a big deal with Amazon in 2023, and it feels like in the years prior to that, they had been trying to seek better monetization for their website, which kind of feels like a very 2000s era internet yes. strategy where you try to get as many eyeballs and then you try to figure out how much the eyeballs are worth and you're selling ads against it. But if a retailer knows they're getting most of their customers from Google, Meta, Amazon, yeah. and if you're not one of those three, when budget cuts come, which they always come,
they always do,
that puts a lot of pressure on these alternative channels.
That's right. And so now you have the user growth stalling, advertisers flaming out and taking their money and their toys. And so we're here now left with Pinterest deciding to lay off about 15% of its staff. It's about 700 to 800 employees. And they're saying that they're going to reallocate these resources towards AI talent and AI forward products. And we've talked about this before, right? It's just this new flair or new, I guess, lipstick on the pig of personalization where they're saying they're going to do more personalized boards, AI shopping assistants. I feel like we've heard this narrative before.
Yeah, because they're talking about AI without being quite specific about what it means. Because I have ChatGPT, I have Gemini, I had Perplexity. Why do I need the Pinterest bot?
Don't forget Claude.
Oh, Claude, sorry.
Yeah. So
sorry, buddy, sorry.
Sorry, Anthropic Claude. We're here for you. Yeah, so you're exactly right. They have been very vague on these details. But what they have said is they're also reducing physical office space. And this restructuring will basically be about $35 to $45 million. It'll be finished by September of 2026. I guess the question I have for you, Rick, is without this like specifics on the AI strategy, where do you feel like Pinterest sits in relevancy? Like, should the site even exist?
Should Pinterest exist? Survey says this should not exist. Let me let you in on a little secret. There is no AI strategy.
Oh, again, it's the boogeyman, or maybe also the things that we tell ourselves to help us sleep at night. I'm going to go pro Pinterest, and here is why. I have found the site super useful in ways that Instagram hasn't filled needs. Even like the Like to Know It site, LTK. It has helped in terms of inspiration, especially for a busy mom who just needs a copy paste when she's going to redecorate for her 11-year-old's room, who's really into basketball stuff.
I think it's helpful. I definitely think it's useful for an inspiration point of view. Is it a business model? That remains in question.
That does remain in question. And the struggle bus for Pinterest is real. We will see if the AI strategy comes to fruition, or it's just, again, an evolution of a similar playbook and a similar story.
Exactly. So thanks, Pinterest. We'll see if you're here next year.
We out.
Next up, our stories is Starbucks unveils a reimagined loyalty programs. When is a rewards program more complicated than you figure it out? Starbucks has a new back to Starbucks strategy, which is tiered loyalty. This is launching March 10th, 2026. The program has split into now three, count them, three levels.
Yeesh.
The green tier, which is $1 equals $1. Okay, that makes sense to me.
Yes.
Gold tier, 1.2 stars equals $1. So you're getting like 20% more stars.
Okay.
And then the reserve tier is $1.7 stars for every $1. And it seems like every time you're talking about the Starbucks reward program, the only thing that anyone actually cares about is what? The birthday reward.
Woo-hoo!
And so everyone's like, but unfortunately, if you miss your birthday, you're sick, you're not near a Bucks on your birthday, then that's not a thing you can redeem, because the day after your birthday, it's not your birthday.
Yes.
However, with the new tiers, you are set up. You have a 7-day window on the green tier and a full 30-day window to redeem your full birthday drink on the reserve team. Yours for the low price of only $2,500 to enter that tier. That's a lot of coffee, people.
That is a lot of coffee. It also sounds like points are not expiring for gold and reserve members. There's also some gamification. I don't know. All of this makes my head hurt, Rick. I just want to go get a cup of coffee and exit stage right. Like, do I need all of this to have a drink at this place?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like CEO Brian Nichol is convinced that he needs to make things more complicated. I mean, you are a big fan of the Sharpie.
Apparently the Sharpie
has not saved the thing. Mandated eye contact. I'm not sure it's bringing people back into there. There's a 4-minute service goal. There's even new limits placed on free rewards. You can't have as many free rewards. So there's a $10 cap on a 200-star drink. And so that kind of effectively ends the era of really free customizations of your startup. So the calculation seems to have gotten more things. The most crazy thing I've seen this for gold high-end rewards, and if you're a top-tier reserve member, you can get chances to win all expense paid trips to Milan, Tokyo, or Costa Rica. Why these three places, Jess?
Is this where your coffee is made so you can actually see how they burn the beans in real life?
Correct. Yeah, Costa Rica, maybe. I'm not sure Milan.
Maybe not so much Milan. I'm not really sure what the Milan deal is, but yeah. I don't know, Rick. This feels more like airline miles than a points or a loyalty system.
Yeah, as long as they don't expire, I think there could be something here. People are going to use, look, if you like Starbucks coffee, you're going to use the points. And so you're going to care somewhat about the system. All I know is I open the app, I check, do I have a gift card? How much can I take off of this drink? That's what I care about my points for.
True story. Send Rick thanks in Starbucks gift cards.
Correct. You'll accept that would them. Be good.
So let's bring home with the third story.
Yeah, our third story is Shopify has issued a partner update, which is essentially lawyer speak for terms of service. And there are sort of two parts of the terms of service that they've updated. One is for their API, which is what developers use, and increasingly AI agents. And second is for their developer partners. They issued a service update. So a couple of things to break down here. They've actually updated the legal definition of partners to include robot agents. So it can include digital entities. And so there is our terms of use now for automated agents accessing data. The next big update is really the fact that Shopify's data is their data and not your data. Meaning if you're a developer and you're downloading data from the Shopify application, you can use that data to serve the customer. What you can't do is use that data to train and build your own AI model, which is ironic because that's exactly what Shopify just did on their own for Sidekick.
Yes. Do as I say, not as I do. Okay. And so let's break down this a little bit further. There's like this update signals, this shift towards more of an agentic ecosystem, right? So third-party apps are expected to feed data, access into Shopify's own API. What's like this Sidekick, correct?
Yeah. Sidekick is, you know, essentially the new center of gravity in the app universe. So you used to go into Shopify and you go to the app store and you can figure out what app to install. Well, now, obviously, you can still install apps and that's going to be a thing for a long time. But people, merchants are increasingly asking Sidekick what to do next.
Sure.
How is my performance doing? What action can you take me? Can you update my theme with something that this app provides? If your app doesn't interact with your AI, the Shopify AI Sidekick, then it will be increasingly seen as a negative. The other thing in this update is that there's strict payment oversight into, for instance, if you have an app that goes into a buyer at checkout or charges a merchant something, you really can't rug pull merchants anymore. And so they're being very strict about sort of two things. Number one is like, you can't just disappear. Shopify sort of, Shopify owns your ass, let's be honest. And then number two, you can't just increase your prices or decrease your prices sort of whenever you want to. You have to offer an appropriate notice period, which in this case, I think is 30 days because that's exactly how much time Shopify gave you for this entire terms of notice period.
Right. Lots to digest. It does also feel like they're really protecting, there's a protective shift in culture. It's not just move fast and break things, but regulating this environment to protect Shopify's AI future and the merchant security, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's making sure that Shopify's data is not abused by third-party agents or developers and that rogue apps can't really screw over merchants. The only question I have is like, isn't this the merchant's data that Shopify, if a merchant wants to share it with the developer,
yes,
shouldn't they be allowed to?
Yes, yes. It's like, we only can control your data and where it goes. So correct. Is this now the Xerox version of terms of service for all e-commerce moving forward, or are we like just testing the waters here?
Yeah, I do think, you know, look, Shopify is out front on some of these things and they have a pretty well-developed app ecosystem. And the fact that they're out front in agents and have all these merchants and buyers means that what Shopify does is really a model for the rest of apps around the world. And so lawyers at other companies, particularly software as a service providers, ISVs, AI companies, of which there are a billion of those now, we saw at NRF, all of those will be like copy paste. Thank you. I like that. Just as a reminder, this podcast is brought to you by Miracle. You actually don't need another tool. What you need is a growth partner. The Miracle platform is powering the next era of retail and for brands that are ready to move, powered by AI and built for what's next. Thanks so much to our partners at Miracle for sponsoring the show.
That's right. Thank you, Miracle. All right, Rick, well, we're going to dive into our main story of today, which is Whatnot's live selling report. And we're really unpacking how traditional e-commerce and the way that we've thought about buying and selling online is dying. You know, we've treated online shopping like a library. It's quiet, static, solitary. You walk in, search the stacks for that beautiful piece of thing that you're looking for, which are the categories. You find your book, which is the product, and you exit and leave. We wanted to unpack before we get into the details of Whatnot's report, which is this live shopping site that feels like it's burst onto the scene in a new way. What's the history of live shopping? And live shopping in the US traces its roots back to the era of your favorites. I know that's what you do late at night, Rick.
I spend a lot of time on HSN.
You still burn HSN and QVC like you're doom scrolling on Instagram. But those started in the 80s and you had these charismatic hosts selling jewelry and kitchen gadgets. If you remember the movie Joy, you had the mop, right?
I love that movie.
Great movie. Bradley
Underrated
Cooper's
movie.
Yeah. I recommend people seeing it. She also launched and spearheaded all of these other inventions that would just kind of improve your life. But the modern digital iteration really hasn't taken flight until 2010, where you had the massive success of Taobao in China. And you had Amazon Live that launched in 2019, but they haven't necessarily caught fire, if you would agree. Like, it's not been something that's
been... There have been a lot of hits and misses. That definitely Facebook, Instagram has been probably one of the most popular ones. eBay has done live selling. Things seem to be picking up now, and there's a new player that's been coming up the last couple of years, which has taken a lot of market share, called Whatnot.
You know, yep.
Why don't you tell us some more about their history and their growth in the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, Whatnot is really impressive because, you know, they come onto the scene, and it's, if you haven't been to the site, it's very Gen Z look and feel. It's almost like this cross between like TikTok and Instagram. Mm. You have these sellers who feel like they're just kind of everyday people. It's not your charismatic host. Some of them are, but they're like in their garages or they're at their homes. There's not these high production. And they have sports trading cards and collectibles really as kind of their primary categories. Cough, eBay things you should own. To grow to $8 billion in GMV. And it's pretty impressive because 88% of sellers are now on this platform reporting higher live sales than any other static marketplace or D2C site, eBay again.
Right. Yeah, they have reported, I mean, obviously, look, if you're in direct to consumer, your cost to acquire a customer is really high. And once you acquire that customer, you don't want to lose them. Whatnot has some interesting stat that 80% of customers that are on the site actually come back month over month. And so live selling is not just sort of a drop one time and go away. It's sort of a live feedback loop. You present something, people are commenting, and that becomes your CRM. So you know who your customers are, especially ones that keep coming back. So it's like this interactive QVC situation. Your marketing channel. How are people engaging with you? What are they looking at? What are they clicking on? What are they responding to from view through and sell through? And then finally, it's your storefront. As you're speaking, you're making sales. So you're not trying to buy customers. You have kind of a captive audience that you're selling through once you develop a personality there.
That's right. And what's really smart that they're doing is there are these free drops that you can have access to. And so it gets people to want to come in and, you know, marketplaces have used this in the past. Other sites have used this. There's been a daily deal strategy or some kind of promotional strategy to get people to come back every day. But literally, this is free product that people are putting in your hands. And so there's this gamification aspect of people wanting to participate, come back, see, you know, some of their favorite sellers, or just kind of see if they can get the grab bag and win some of the free auctions. And so it does create that repeat visit. And people are spending a lot of time on this platform. You know, we're talking like 90 minutes plus in a session. So it's not just they watch one live sell and then they move on. They get drawn in. And I think that's part of some of the beauty of Whatnot is the way that the algorithm and the platform keeps you engaged.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem to be like it's just for these tier one cities. So like New York, LA, et cetera. There are a lot of mid-sized cities that have pretty huge interests, like Rochester, Dayton. Rollywood made the list.
Hello,
shout out. And they're actually even... Exactly. I still have a 919 area code.
I love that for you.
They're out earning Los Angeles and Chicago on a per resident basis. And so we should kind of see the appeal because sort of like the middle America, people just need something to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, cards are a big business, Rick, as you know. It's not just a simple category. You know, I'm still looking for that Mickey Mantle, which would be my one-way ticket out of here. But yeah, like it's a big business. And you think about collectibles really being their heritage, but there's also a lifestyle category that's exploding. So beauty has had 791% growth, electronics 444% growth. So they are starting to chip away at, again, categories that have seemed to be owned by traditional marketplaces. And you wouldn't always equate them to great things for like live selling, right? I guess you could think about beauty, and TikTok's really started to play a role there. But you know, electronics, like what am I demoing, a TV and my printer and this cool sound bar? But yeah, it's working for some. And it feels like it's not just kind of, like I said, the collectibles piece, but even some of the replenishment and high ticket items that you need to demo.
Yeah. I mean, what strikes me is that this channel has to be a channel where freshness of the inventory is valued, meaning right. like who is going to come back for seeing the same thing over and over day after day. And so your offer needs to be updated. You're like, oh, I have a new thing coming. It's not necessarily a drop, but a new version or a new demo, or, you know, talking to people about what's coming in the future and relaying information. You're creating a relationship with these people over a number of weeks and months so that they know that you're the trusted source for this new hot brand, whether it's right. like hunting and fishing or electronics or beauty, or of course, cards, which we're going to talk about a little bit right now.
That's right. Yes. So we wanted to dive deeper into the mystery of Whatnot and what made it so appealing. So we went to a special correspondent, Shepard Lisewski, to give us all the deets.
My name is Shep.
Okay. And how old are you, Shep?
11.
Great. And how long have you been using Whatnot?
Like a year.
A year. Okay. Tell wow. me about Whatnot. Explain it to me like I'm five.
It's like you go on a stream and then they put up cards or whatever you're looking for. You bid on them and then you try to win the auction.
Okay. So you're winning auctions. So you watch videos of people do this stuff, right?
Yeah.
How many people do you think you watch per day?
Like 10.
10. Okay.
Dedication.
So some people say kids have right. short attention spans. How do you explain the fact that you can sit there and watch 90 minutes of people just talking about cards?
Well, I'm interested in the subject, so.
Oh, okay. Got it. And who's your favorite? Do you have a favorite?
No, not really.
If you had unlimited funds, how much do you think you could spend on Whatnot?
$10,000.
$10,000.
What?
A month?
Yeah, I'm in trouble, oh, guys.
You think your parents will float that?
This is a problem.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
This is a problem. And Rick, I will tell you firsthand experience. I set him up because this is one of those situations where he was getting major FOMO. All his friends were on these auctions and he was going for the freebies. Right? And the next thing I know, my card's getting charged like
ching,
this.
Ching, ching,
ching, ching, ching, ching. I can like literally hear it ringing, and it was bad news bears. So yes, we have a Whatnot governor at this point to yeah. regulate this. So
yeah, that's a challenge. I mean, it's interesting. Like, he's definitely interested in cards. He talks about it like going on a stream. So
yes,
I don't really view it like I'm going there to shop. It more is like he's going there to listen and be entertained.
That's right. And I think that is really what the magic formula is. Mm. This isn't just a shopping site, especially kids, like all the neighborhood kids get together and they talk about it and they're on FaceTime with each other as they're even like looking at some of these streams. So it's super interesting that they are looking at it as entertainment. Mm. They don't look at it as shopping, but it makes it that much easier to keep that credit card flowing.
Yeah, it reminds me of like 2001 eBay, where bidding on an auction was fun.
It was fun. Right. Yeah, you were like, oh, what's going to show up on my door? What did I win today?
Exactly.
It's just all coming full circle. So we will continue to have Shep in the field to give us updates on what's going on with Whatnot.
Right.
And that really brings us to a wrap for this story. And we are excited to kind of continue to see how this site unfolds.
Yes. And until next time, this has been Rick and Jess.
That's right. Stay bold, stay classy, stay Moltbot free.
Enjoy your weekend, everyone.